And now it's time for the Talk of the Nation opinion page. Derek Jackson is a columnist for the Boston Globe. He wants the federal government to ban drivers from talking and texting on their cell phones. Big brother, he says, take the wheel, take the cell phones out of our hands. In his column, Jackson cites a study from researchers at the University of Utah, which found that driving while talking on a cell phone slows down reaction time so dramatically that it is the equivalent of driving drunk. Should the government ban drivers from using cell phones? Tell us why they should or shouldn't. Tell us your story. But please, pull over. Our number is 800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org. And you can join the conversation at our website. Go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. Joining us now from the studios of WBUR, our member station in Boston, is Derek Jackson. Good to have you with us on Talk of the Nation again.
Good afternoon, Lynn, and a nice main segment on the Canadian healthcare.
Good. Now, a while back, I know you were nearly hit by a driver while you were crossing the street, and I'm wondering, is that what started this campaign of yours, if we want to call it that?
How many times you want to count? And how many times have maybe I almost ran somebody else over because I was doing the same thing? And I think that's the problem. It's something that I think is just, in a societal sense, is out of control. And a Harvard risk study in 2003 estimated that cell phones use while driving is involved in 2,630 deaths a year. And, with reference to driving drunk, the equivalent of driving drunk with that activity, we're really serious. We've gotten serious about other critical aspects of driving. We obviously have many prohibitions and punishments for, in fact, driving drunk. And in May, we got reminded about how serious we should be about seat belts as Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood announced a campaign to boost seat belt use up from 83% nationally to 90%. And he said that if we did that, that could save 1,652 lives a year. He said in announcing that, he said, wearing a seatbelt costs nothing, and yet it's the single most effective traffic safety device ever invented. And I guess I would posit that given the Harvard data that shows that 2,600 people a year die from cell phone use while driving, maybe LaHood could also say putting away your cell phone while driving costs nothing, and it's the single most effective traffic safety act we do not have to invent.
You know, this is such an ingrained part of our lives right now, and you even wrote that you still pick up the phone sometimes in the car. Everybody does, even people who say they're against it. I think from time to time they say, well, I just have to call and let them know I'm going to be late or, something like that. I mean, how can our attitudes be changed? How can the federal government do it?
Well, I think that with, like a lot of things, it takes time. I think that, interestingly, I think President Obama in this particular White House has some credibility since Obama's our first high-tech president with his BlackBerry. Interestingly, you mentioned that leading to the government because last week the New York Times had a story about how information that the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration had put together back in 2003. They had a proposal to study 10,000 drivers for the risks of using cell phones while at the wheel. They had also, by then, had compiled way enough data to want to put out a serious warning to governors to make sure that whatever laws they put in place for cell phone use while driving, that it did not differentiate from hands-free, because most of the studies show that hands-free cell phones are no more safe than handheld. So the government has had unfortunately, a role in depressing the dangers of cell phone use while driving. And I think this represents a great opportunity for the government to put cell phones right in the same category of safety as drunk driving and seatbelts.
All right, let's take a call from Sally in Oklahoma City. Hi, Sally.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I just want to say that I think that if it was a federal law, I would certainly think twice before picking up my phone. I personally have driven through two or three red lights.
Really?
On my phone. You know, it's like you're, because it was a situation where I was talking about something that was very emotional, and I totally forgot that I was behind the wheel. I was in the conversation.
Wow.
So I did run at different times, but I have run red lights, and I think that not only do I believe it's a danger, I know that it's a danger.
Have you stopped talking on the phone while driving?
Yes. I pull over. If I have to talk on my cell phone, I pull over because of the fact that I have driven through red lights.
All right. Well, thanks for your call, Sally.
Yeah, I was very fortunate that I didn't get hit.
Yeah, you were fortunate. I saw a piece on television the other night about a young man who did the same thing and killed somebody, sadly.
Yeah.
So, and I have heard of people being in terrible accidents as a result of cell phones, either as pedestrians or behind the wheel. So this is clearly a problem. Thanks so much for calling, Sally. Derek, What about yourself? Have you changed your own habits, do you think, since you made yourself sort of more self-aware of this and you become more self-aware of this?
Oh, sure. And the vast majority of the time, I don't pick up the cell phone while driving, listening or calling. But I'm a human being, and I must say we create, I, like anybody else, creates our own little scenarios where we think, this is the safe moment to call. I mean, I just, be quite honest, last week, 48 hours after writing my column, I was creeping at like 5 miles an hour in a traffic jam. And I said, okay, so I'll let my wife know what time I'm going to get home.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so we create our own delusions as to what is safe. And I think when you multiply everybody's delusions by the millions,
yeah.
I think there's no level playing field of when is a safe time to use a cell phone while driving, and the evidence suggests none. And I mean, for instance, those Utah researchers that did the equivalency while driving drunk, I mean, they found other things that. When drivers do that, they're so lost in their conversation, which is not focused on the wheel, that they do things like clog lanes, creating traffic jams. One of the senior director of the National Safety Council, which is you know, a consortium of industry interests in safety, I think he said it best. He said, it's just not possible for our brains to focus on the road and the call. Or texting. So it just feels like we've reached a point. It's kind of too, like, again, it's too bad that we've, with the aid of the past administration, we have not really been confronted with the dangers of cell phone use while driving the way we should have. That said, I mean, we've gone from probably zero seatbelt use or some very low percentage of seatbelt use years ago to 83%.
Yeah,
so I think we can, with a concerted effort and serious information that this is a serious thing to do with serious consequences. If you're in an accident and you are doing this act, I think it'll take a few years, but I think we can get compliance up pretty high.
We are talking with Boston Globe columnist Derek Jackson about the proposal to ban the use of cell phones while driving. If you'd like to join us, the number is 800-989-8255. We're going to take a call now from Jeff, and he's calling from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Hi, Jeff.
Hello.
Hi, Jeff. Go ahead.
Hi, yes. I just want to make a comment. I have a couple of questions. I've been a truck driver on and off for 25 years. I have always used a cell phone. My thought is, I believe there should be some sort of endorsement test, just like if you want to drive a motorcycle, you have to get a motorcycle license. I see people driving their cars not on the cell phone that shouldn't be driving. They're so terrible. I believe some people can handle it and some can't. I don't believe that everybody should be penalized. I've never had a ticket or an accident or anything. And then another question is, how is talking on the cell phone any different than truckers talking on a CB radio, which has been done for eons.
So let me ask you this, Jeff. Have you heard about the research that says it's the equivalent of driving drunk, and do you just not believe that research?
I believe it is true for some people.
But not for you.
Well, yes. Does it distract you? Well, possibly somewhat sometimes. I believe you have to be intelligent enough to know when to set the phone down, when to pay attention more seriously to the driving in the situation than not. And some people are totally oblivious to it, and they drive through stop signs, and they drive because their brain can't function two things at once. And there are some people that can.
Okay, Jeff, thanks so much for your call. I'm going to try and get another call in here while we can. Let's go to Jerry. He's calling from Missouri, I believe. Jerry, go ahead.
I agree with the previous caller. I think it's a matter of proficiency. I would rather be riding in a car with Danica Patrick on a cell phone, perhaps lighting a cigarette, than with some people who are simply driving. If you've ever ridden in a commercial airliner, the pilot is flying and communicating at the same time. So it's I think it goes deeper than simply trying to eliminate distractions. Let's just raise the level of proficiency that we require people to drive at any given time.
All right. Thanks for your call, Jerry. And we're talking with Derek Jackson. He's a columnist for the Boston Globe, and you are listening to Talk the Nation from NPR News. Okay, Derek, there you go. We've got some pretty pretty strong mindsets there that you're on the wrong track. Thank you very much.
I think that with all respect to the callers, I think it's like trying to raise the proficiency of driving drunk. I mean, there are some people who can drive with a certain alcohol content at a certain level, and there are others who probably can't. But I just think the evidence is pretty clear that that hundreds, if not thousands, of people are dying because of this technological activity we've added to our driving. And I guess the question for people, the question for the naysayers is, how many lives is it worth? How many lives is it worth to you to have the privilege of calling on a cell phone? Everybody, including myself, can find a scenario in which they think it's safe to do this. And I think there was another study I was reading that said, in fact, drivers may not be aware of their own impaired driving. With a clear disconnect between the activity and the conversation you just lost yourself into.
All right, let's see if we can get another call in here now. Okay, Andrew is calling. Hi, Andrew.
Hello. Just a simple comment here. What's the difference between using a hands-free device and talking with the people in your car? You get involved in that conversation as well. And also, when is this going to stop? Are we going to then ban eating and driving at the same time?
Actually,
actually,
there are studies. There are studies that have compared cell phone use while driving with with what happens when an occupant is in the car. And in fact, what they found is that having an occupant in the car is nowhere near the same thing as a cell phone, because the occupant actually, by their presence, helps the driver stay aware of the road, can help see things that are coming. And so there's a very, very, very different result. It's the chances of an accident while driving with a cell phone are much more than talking with an occupant in the car.
All right, let's take another call now. We're going to go to Kathleen, and she is calling from Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi. I'm a realtor, and I would like the government to say no driving and talking, because I would like an excuse. Everyone thinks you've got to get back to them, you know, within 30 seconds. And I also think I had a French-born exchange student that, they have to pay like $800 to get a license. And his brother had to take the test 4 times, and they take 8 months of classes. You know, it is a privilege to drive in Europe. And I think we need to do that. I think we need to slow down. I mean, after cell phones, what's next, you know, that we're doing in our cars? Freedom's one thing, but irresponsibility is another, and we all need to calm down. And I think it would be a good first step to say, hey, no cell phones. And so you can say, hey, I was driving. I'm trying to be safe.
Great. Thanks for calling, Kathleen. I like that, having an excuse not to have to call back. Let's take another call from Donnie calling from Pinedale, Wyoming. Hi, Donnie.
Hi. A couple of comments. I agree with the people that are saying, well, some are more proficient at multitasking than others and can function just fine. But how would a policeman know that?
Yeah.
I mean, if he just sees somebody talking on the phone, he doesn't know if they're more proficient at doing that. But the other thing is, out here in Wyoming, we have some pretty wide open spaces, and very often we'll be driving along a highway and won't see another car for miles and miles, or a tree as far as that goes either. But so is there a difference there, and should there be a consideration in a law making a difference between heavy city driving and driving out in the country where there just isn't any other traffic?
Yeah, what do you think about that, Derek? I mean, these are the kinds of things you'd have to take into account if you're calling for a federal ban, right? Because it's going to be different from one place to the next.
Right, right. That's a very interesting, because one of my great excuses in life on cell phones is, like, when I'm on a road trip and I'll call when I'm on a long straightaway. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, I'm on a long straightaway, and, what could possibly happen? So, actually, I think I'd like to see, maybe there is one, I just haven't seen it, but that would be an interesting study as to whether, I mean, and actually one of the reasons I do that is, in my mind, that cell phone conversation on a long straightaway, interstate straightaway, keeps me awake, right? It keeps you aware of what's going on in the road. Now, that runs 100% counter to what the general data on cell phones. So,
Derek, we're out of time. I want to thank you so much for joining us. It was a good discussion.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Derek Jackson is a columnist for the Boston Globe. He joined us today from our member station, WBUR in Boston. Tomorrow, Neil Conan is back. Harlem Children's Zone CEO Jeffrey Canada joins us for the second in our series on successful solutions, what works. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington.